This just in, ladies and gentlemen, we are broke. Now, not only you and I, but everyone. Yep. According to a study conducted by Oxfam, the number of people who have a moral obligation to consider themselves rich is 62. It would have been funnier if the researchers massaged the data a bit into a 69. And surprisingly, 5 years ago, this number stood at nearly 400 people. Nevertheless, 62 billionaires now own 50% of everything on this planet, whereas the other 6,999,999,938 people own everything else. I'm Nick Blake, and today we talk inequality.
I'm so sick of being broke. I'm broke. I'm just always just keep digging this hole. And most people are broke, too. That's the thing. This country's just everybody's broke. That's why I don't like George Bush, but I didn't like Kerry either, because they're f***ing both rich, and they don't get it. They don't know what it's like to be poor. Like, poor people know what it's like to be rich. They know exactly what it's like, because they fantasize about it constantly. Every poor person has their whole rich life all planned out. Every detail. I'm going to have a house made of chocolate, and people are going to blow me as I walk in each room. They're going to be waiting. I'm going to wipe my ass with live rabbits and throw them out the window. And got it all worked out. But rich people don't fantasize about being poor. Why the f*** would they do that? I'll have to take the bus everywhere. Yeah! I've always been poor my whole life. I've never had any money. And I don't care. I don't give a shit. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are poor now. Like, I was driving through upstate New York, and there's people up there, man. Their lives are just shitty. Like, you ever drive through a whole town, and you're like, what did a shit bomb go off in this place? What happened? Everybody's life sucks in the whole town. And you can tell because they're just standing in front of their houses like...
That was Louis C.K. from his HBO special One Night Stand. Nobody has any money. Well, besides the people whose faces you see on Forbes magazine, as Oxfam puts it, a crackdown on tax dodging, higher investment in public services, and higher wages for the low paid are the way to mitigate this unnerving revelation. It's a good theory, but I'm somewhat skeptical. First of all, tax dodging is only possible if places like tax havens exist so that there's a location one can move his or her monies to. The question then arises, who owns tax havens? Or, okay, not owns. Rather, who has enough leverage on tax haven countries to comply? I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it's the same people who say they're fighting against them. The wealthiest of the wealthy earn most of their incomes from investments and not salaries or wages. Therefore, cutting tax dodging will indeed curb the inequality gap, but only for some and only for some time, until the investments find their cozy bank vaults again. Investing in public services always sounds like a populist agenda, but bureaucracy typically eats up most of the effort and finances. So clearly, not a McKinsey consultant thought of that idea. Finally, paying more for the most mundane jobs is cloaked in inequality itself. If you have no education and no skills, but your pay gets bumped up, how do you think that would make those feel that do have an education and do have skills, but are not in the 1%? Yet. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Not good. Talking about not feeling good, here's George Carlin letting us, the masses, know what's happening behind the curtain.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right.
That was George Carlin from his last HBO special, Life is Worth Losing. The rich, once they get to the top, mastermind an entire series of complicated networks that would safeguard and red flag any attempt on their empires. Which is only natural, is it not? First rule of finance, protect your investment. Second rule of finance, accumulate some more. Rule 3, repeat. This little cycle sounds simple, but according to Oxfam, this cycle is one big contributing factor to inequality. Head of Oxfam's inequality department, Nick Breyer, explains.
Since the financial crisis in 2008 particularly, what economic recovery has been has really disproportionately gone to the very richest people. And that's from a number of factors, many of which have been in place and growing over recent decades. So this is to do with the ability of the very wealthy to set their own pay, for example. It's and why we're seeing executive pay skyrocket, which is now often 300 times the pay of an average worker, when 30 years ago it was maybe 20 or 30 times. It's because the super rich individuals and the world's biggest companies are able to hide money in tax havens. It's estimated that rich individuals have $7.6 trillion hidden in tax havens. I mean, this is money that should be fueling the economy. It should be creating jobs. It should be rising wages for ordinary people. It should be tax should be being paid on it, which would be getting children into school and sick people into hospitals. But instead, it's hidden away in tax havens.
That was Nick Breyer from Oxfam sharing his professional opinion on what is happening with inequality today. As a regular human being, you're probably thinking, what can I do? How can I help? I don't want to give to charities because, as it turns out, most nonprofit charities are paying corporate salaries to its bosses to keep the fund rolling. I don't believe in middlemen, so I don't donate to charities, but I want to do something that would perhaps save a baby seal or help a Syrian refugee get to Finland and get paid 20 euros for having sex with elderly women. Google it. The point is that what if you want to help but don't know how and don't trust major conglomerates with your donations? Where do you go? The brilliant Irish comedian Dylan Moran illuminates.
So you've got actors presenting this and comics on and you've all come and it's all very nice and it's a benefit. It's the acme of middle class charity, really. This is what middle class people are prepared to do. This is the sacrifice you're prepared to make. And it's hard to live in a generous way. You know, it's hard. It is hard. Joe mentioned this earlier on. It's hard when you see beggars. You know, there was a piece in the paper not that long ago that said, we're all middle class now. Usually you can just tell that to beggars. You say, did you realize? Don't you know? This is the wrong gig for you. I told somebody, he said, ah, that's a good. Thank you for telling me. I was thinking of getting a cottage in the country anyway. And then, it's hard to dig it out of yourself, to give it up, separate you and your money. And And because sometimes you look at beggars and you just think, you do make a judgment. You know, I saw, you see a woman with a shawl and a baby and you think, well, you're cold, you know, you look poor, you're blue, your baby doesn't look too great, you know, have a pound. That's the kind of guy I am. Have a pound. And but then you see some young guy and you think, well, wait a minute, you know, you're sitting down, your trainers look a bit clean. Essentially, you look like me, sitting down. Frappuccino, f*** you. And that's what goes on.
That was Dylan Moran sharing his views on being middle class and giving to those who are less fortunate than him. Oxfam did a wonderful job with letting the world know what it already knew, but had no idea about the scope. What happens next is up to us. Do we unite as a civilization against the outcasts of our society, i.e. the super rich? Or do we continue selling our time in this reality to someone who clearly has a lot more invested in this than you? That is a choice that each of us face every day. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.